Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us,
announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Behold, your King is coming to you.
Righteous and having salvation.
Save us, we pray, O Lord.
O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us.
Bind the vessel of sacrifice to the cords, up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are my God, I will extol you.
Lord Jesus Christ, you reign among us by the preaching of your cross. Forgive your people the offenses that we, being governed by your bountiful goodness, may enter at last into your eternal paradise. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Almighty God, by your grace the Apostle Andrew obeyed the call of your Son to be a disciple. Grant us also to follow the same Lord Jesus Christ in heart and life, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the second chapter. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up among the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together.
To which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord.
There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you.
Peace be within your walls and security within your towers.
For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you.
For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Ghost.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Peace. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 13th chapter. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, lift up your heads, O gates.
Be lifted up, O ancient doors.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage,
until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be taken, will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading, I'll read again the first verse and the last three. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You may be seated. The theme of the readings today, the hymns, the liturgy, the changes up front, but especially the gospel reading, the theme of the day is be ready. Be ready. Advent cries out to us to be ready and prepared. But ready and prepared for what? In the Old Testament, the prophets often spoke of a coming day of the Lord, spoken of often with warning and ominous notes. The day of the Lord is coming. It will be a dark day and a dreadful day. Or as the prophet Zechariah says, there shall be a unique day, which is known to the Lord. Neither day nor night, but at evening time there shall be light. There is a special and unique day of the Lord that is coming. It is certain, it is determined, it has been set and established, but there is uncertainty about the time. We do not know when that day will come. Jesus in the Gospels, including in Matthew chapter 24, compares that day, and he speaks of that day not only as the coming of a day, but the coming of a person, of himself. He speaks of it like lightning, seen across the whole earth, flashing from one side to the other, coming suddenly and with great power. He speaks of that day like the coming of a thief, which is a very strange image. As I was reading this week, one pastor commented that what we need is for our Lord to come with the ski mask and the crowbar to take care of our sin. His coming is described as a flood that will wash away the evil and the wickedness of the world. And other images of a fig tree in leaf or of labor pains coming upon a woman, sudden and unexpected. And the problem being that concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. The day is coming, but we do not know when. The angels don't know when. The Son of God, our Lord himself, according to his humanity, has chosen not to know when, but only the Father. No one can decipher the day or the season. I said this last Sunday, it's worth repeating again. If you hear someone say that they know when it is happening, you can assume that they don't know what they're talking about. And the problem that Jesus addresses is the problem that not only did they not know when it is coming, but so many people were unprepared. And he compares it to the days of Noah. When God had Noah preparing the ark, building this boat in which 8 people would be saved, rescued through the water and be given a new life for 120 years, building the ark. And the rest of the world around them was simply going about their daily business with no awareness of what was coming. And that's the issue. The issue isn't that they were eating and drinking or marrying and giving in marriage. Those things are all fine. And many of us, I'm sure, on Thursday in particular, were eating and drinking as well, enjoying our Thanksgiving meals. The problem that Jesus addresses is that so many were doing these things of daily life without any awareness or understanding that this day was coming, that the day was looming, that the flood was about to wash over the world and take them away. They were not ready. Maybe they thought that if they knew the day or the hour, they could get ready. You know, Noah, tell us when this day is going to be. We'll put it on our calendar with a star. We'll make sure there's a calendar alert to come up. And then I'll get ready. But the point was that they needed to be ready then. Each day. Every day. Going about their daily life to be ready. We could say that Jesus is addressing a people of his day like a people of Noah's day who had a confident carelessness. Confident carelessness. They either assumed that when the day came, they would be fine. They were good people. They hadn't done anything terrible. They tried to lead decent lives. People who were distracted by the delights of the world, feasting and pleasure-seeking without any gravity, without any awareness of the gravity of the situation. And the day broke upon them in Noah's time, when the flood came and washed them away. The day of the Lord is coming. Be ready is the call. Ready for what? I think that if we were to describe our lives, we might say that we're constantly getting ready for something. Getting ready for work, getting ready for play, getting ready for the holidays, getting ready for living nativity. We had a lot of that going on yesterday. Getting ready for Christmas. We're always getting ready for something. But our Lord would have us know that the thing we are getting ready for is Him. He is the one who is coming. And He would have us be prepared, not simply for all these other things in life, not for today and tomorrow and December 25th. He would have us be prepared for that day when He returns in glory. But we don't know the day or the hour either. We don't know the day or the hour, and that is why He would invite us to be ready and prepared by hearing His word. It is the scriptures that make us ready for the return of Christ. And He would have us be ready by receiving His holy and precious gifts, Holy Communion, and returning to our baptism in repentance. Because we don't know when that day or hour will come. And He does not want to find us in confident carelessness. I'm sure we can all think of moments in our lives, maybe moments in the past year or the past week, when we would not have wanted our Lord to return and find us doing that or having said that or thinking that other thing. He does not want us to be confidently careless, but to be ready and prepared for His return. And our readiness for His return is not just based on the evils that we find in our life or in the world around us. That varies from time to time, day to day. But He would have us be ready in view of the certainty of His coming, which will be at the time of the Father's choosing, so that we would not fritter away our time or our lives now. We would not live lives of evilness or wicked, but we would turn away from our sin and be like the servants who are faithfully awaiting the Master's return, making use of the gifts and the time that He has given us. Be ready. Jesus was always ready. He was ready for the things that He had to face. He was ready for the day of judgment that He knew was going to come and fall upon Him, a day of darkness and of wrath and of gloom. The day when the nails would be driven into His wrists and the crown of thorns placed into His head. If you read through the Gospels this Advent, read through one of the Gospels thinking about how Jesus is preparing Himself, readying Himself for the task that He will take on. It started even before He was born, but I think especially about the temptation in the wilderness. After He was baptized, Jesus went up into the wilderness and He faced Satan because He knew that through the course of His entire ministry, up to the very day of His death, He would be facing off with the evil one. And He began doing it right away, facing the temptations that were sure to come and triumphing over them by the word of God. And as a bookend to that temptation, I picture our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, having fed his disciples with his Last Supper, having sung hymns, he went out to the garden and he knelt down and prayed. And you might remember he brought with him Peter, James, and John. They stayed a little ways off, and Jesus encouraged them to watch and pray, to stay awake and be ready. And then he went a little farther away and he prayed. He prayed that the cup of his suffering and judgment might pass. He prayed that the wrath of God that was about to fall would not have to fall on him. And then he prayed, most beautifully and wonderfully of all, "Thy will be done." He was ready for what he had to face. The disciples, however, were not ready. Every time Jesus went back to them, he found them sleeping, dozing, unprepared for what was to come. Jesus knew that the day had arrived, the day on which he was to stretch out his arms in love and in life for the world, the day on which the judgment would strike him instead of us, and he was prepared to take that on. He knew that the time and season had arrived. And our Lord approached that day not with confident carelessness, but with a confident hope. Can you imagine dying like that, saying, "Into your hands I commend my spirit"? The confidence that he had to do what he came to do, the readiness that he was prepared for, that he might accomplish what is needed for your salvation and for mine. And our Lord would have us be ready as well. That is why he invites us here to watch and pray, not just once, but again and again and again. Every Sunday, it's like our Lord meets us as we come in and he says, "Have you fallen asleep again? But watch and pray. For temptation is sure to come, and the day is on the horizon, and I will be coming again in glory. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. And if a thief knew, or if a master knew when the thief was going to be breaking in, you'd better be sure that he would be prepared for it. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And we are made ready. We are made ready not by our own holiness of life, but rather by our turning away from our sin and crawling on our knees before our Lord and saying to him, "Lord, have mercy on me." We come today not patting ourselves on the back, saying, "Lord, I've done everything I need to. I'm ready. You can come now." But saying, "Lord, I've been so ill prepared. Prepare me again. Make me ready with your own forgiveness, life, and salvation." Because that is what we need to be ready for his return. Our Lord has prepared an ark as he did in the days of Noah. An ark in which we can find safety and rescue from the judgment that is on the horizon, from the day of our Lord's return. It is the ark of his church, where Christ rules with his forgiveness and mercy. Our Lord has come here and gathered you to this place that you might not be caught unaware or unprepared, but that when the day comes, you might be covered with his own blood, that your sins might be forgiven in his name, that you might have his very life and salvation coursing through your body, so that when he returns again, we can hold our head up high and say, "Lord, we've been waiting for you, and we've been watching for you, and we've needed you and longed for you. Come again in glory, dear Lord." And until that day comes, Lord, prepare us to live in this life, to love one another as you have loved us, to do what is right and just with respect to our neighbors, to carry out our daily lives of eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage and going to work and going to school, but help us to do these things aware and awake to you and to your coming again. St. Paul says that the hour has come for us to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. We could say that salvation is nearer to us now than when we first walked into church this morning. Every moment of every day draws that salvation nearer. The night is far gone and the day is at hand. And so let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And let us walk properly as in the daytime. Let us put off our sinful desires, the things that would make us not ready for our Lord Jesus Christ, but let us put him on again today with all his righteousness, that he might find us clothed in his white and holy robes when he returns again in glory. For our Lord returns again, not to condemn the sinner, but to save those who have turned to him in hope. And so we have today again. We turn to our Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on us anew this day. Grant us your forgiveness and your salvation so that we will be ready when you return in glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Congregation may be seated, and I'd like to invite forward Josh and Caleb Blake with Anna Lee and Caleb. Beloved in the Lord, in holy baptism, Anna Lee Marie Blake and Ian Joshua Blake were born again as God's children and received into his church. As a further gift of his love for us, our Lord Jesus Christ has given his church the sacrament of the altar and invites his children to receive this sacrament in faith for the forgiveness of their sins. The Apostle Paul reminds us, let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. These youth have received instruction and have been examined by the pastor regarding their sin and their understanding of the sacrament of the altar. Anna Lee and Ian, you are about to be admitted to the Lord's table. Holy Scripture describes the life of the church and every baptized Christian with these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. You are invited by the Lord to come regularly to hear his word and receive his sacrament. You will continue to be instructed and nurtured in the Christian faith and life. You are invited to confess your sins and receive the comfort of holy absolution. All this will help you live as the child of God you have been made through holy baptism. In testimony of this faith and confession, I now ask you, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is your Lord? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that you are a sinner? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and shed his blood for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that in the Lord's Supper he gives you his true body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins and to strengthen your faith in him and your love toward others? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you intend to continue to hear and receive the word of your Lord, confess your sins, and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully throughout your life? Then say yes with the help of God. Anna Lee and Ian, I therefore invite you to the Lord's Supper to receive Christ's precious body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I now address Josh and Kayla, along with the entire congregation gathered here. The whole church shares with you the responsibility and ongoing concern for the instruction and spiritual care of these young people. I now ask you, all of you, will you intercede for Anna Lee and Ian in prayer, and as much as you are able, give them your counsel and aid, that in communion with the church they may grow up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ? Then answer, we will, with the help of God.
We will, with the help of God.
Please stand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, loved the young and called them to himself, we ask you to bless Anna Lee, Marie, and Ian Joshua. Strengthen them in the faith through the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, so that they may grow spiritually and bring forth the fruits of faith in a life of love toward others and to the praise and honor of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We rejoice with thankful hearts in your confession of faith. As you continue to hear the Lord's word and receive his holy supper, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.
Stir up your power, O Lord, to rescue us from the dangers of this dark world by the advent of your Son, that we may ever walk in his light and learn the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, you have made us glad to enter into your presence, to hear the good news of our Savior and to receive his gifts. Preserve your church against all her enemies. Lead us to walk in your ways and to follow your path, that when Jesus returns in his glory, we may welcome him with glad hosannas. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of love, visit our homes and defend us from the temptation to walk in the works of darkness. Clothe us with the armor of light. Preserve the single in holiness, and lead husbands and wives to love one another and raise their children in the faith. Bless all expectant mothers, including Stephanie, Jamie, Catherine, and Emma. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty Father, you are the authority to whom all temporal authorities must bow. Give wisdom and godly insight to our president, our governor, and all who make, administer, or judge our laws. Grant peace among the nations, that swords may be beaten to plowshares and spears to pruning hooks. Be the fortress and refuge of those who suffer for doing good and speaking the truth. Grant justice to our sister Erin Kate. Give her the peace that surpasses all understanding in her daily life and work, and defend her reputation and position from false accusations and attacks. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, at the right time you entered our world, come, we pray, and bless our living nativity. Unite us as we prepare. Provide us with all that is needed to carry it through, and use us to make your name known. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you have given us your Son to bear the burdens of our sin and to grant us healing and hope. Hear us on behalf of those in great need, those afflicted with physical and mental ills, those whose hearts are touched by grief, and those in their last days on earth. Especially for Cindy in her recovery from shoulder surgery, Annette with her upcoming medical scan, Judy for healing and restoration,
Lauren with her cancer biopsy and exam, Rick and Teresa as he undergoes a heart procedure, Carol, who is dying, Hattie as she goes through surgery, Rosemarie in her recovery, the Dowling family as they mourn the death of Tyler, as well as Dave, George and Carol, Debbie, Lee, Judy, Jackie, Richard, and Ted. Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting God, your Son has given us a place at his table where we receive the food of his own flesh and blood given for the life of the world. Grant us faith to recognize his body in this bread and his blood in this cup, and to receive this blessed communion with joy and thanksgiving. Unite your people that we may confess with one voice the truth of your word and live together in love and anticipation for that day when Christ shall return in triumph. Bring us with all the saints into your eternal presence and to the marriage feast of the Lamb without end. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank, bless, and praise you forever that you have sent your Son to reign over us poor sinners, who for our trespasses deserve rightly to remain in bondage to sin and Satan. You have given us a righteous and humble King who through his death has saved us from sin and eternal death. We implore you, enlighten, govern, and direct us by your Holy Spirit that we may remain faithful to this righteous King and Savior and not be offended by his humble appearance or despised word, but believe in him and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant John the Baptist to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm 85, beginning at the first verse. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God, of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your Lord people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O God, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. The glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground. The righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, Lord, we'll give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin.
Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
To the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and a deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.